This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hon. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of Bill Haley and the Comets. You remember them, you old-timers? Golly, he was one of the pioneers of rock and roll. They were still, that's back when they still had saxophones in the music. You listen to all those old 50s rock songs. They always have a saxophone with a little bit of prominence. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my partner and newly vaccinated Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, May the 4th. In a few minutes, Norbert Michael of the Heritage Foundation will be with us. We're going to talk about ongoing mask mandates. How reliable is the information about mask protection? You hear so much. We'll talk about it with Norbert, so stay tuned for that. And gas prices, would you believe they've hit $5 a gallon? In California? So, like, if you have, what, it's $100 to fill your tank, maybe? Out there in parts of Southern California? Of course, pump prices rising across the country. So, the question, is this a direct result of President Biden's attack on fossil fuels and shutting down pipelines and stuff like that? We're going to talk about that and other newsworthy items. With our eye in the northern sky this morning, Angelo Ceresi. So stay tuned for Angelo. And our term limits coming to the Supreme Court. The Biden Commission, you know that commission to study packing the court, expanding the court? Well, they may very well not do that, but they might bring term limits to fruition. We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, you ever go to Rotten Tomatoes and before you see a movie and see what they have to say, we're going to give you the top 10 worst movies ever, according to Rotten Tomatoes. What are you holding, Ed, in your hand? Is that some sort of a weapon, or is that a neon light you're going to stick in the ceiling? It looks like it comes out of a star.
You know what today is, right?
I don't, and I'm not.
May the 4th.
Okay,
May the 4th be with you.
Okay.
So.
Oh, you're kidding.
In honor of that, I have my lightsaber.
Holy Toledo. The thing lights up.
Yeah, it does.
It's very impressive. And it changes colors and makes a noise. Where can I get one? How come you got one and I don't have one? That's pretty cool. Man, you know that whole series? We're going to do the top 10 worst movies. I don't think Star Wars is one of the top 10 worst movies.
I don't think so.
No. Wow. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Why do we call it Master Barbershop? He is a master barber. It's a title that is designated for people that have got certain abilities, and he's a master barber. He's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. He and his team, for my money, are the best in Tampa Bay for you guys. Call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. And remember, they are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Also, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater every morning preceding our program. In fact, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network, Paul and Tracy Allen. And we want to wish Tony his happy 41st birthday, their boy. He's a wonderful kid. Anyway, Good Morning Clearwater. All right, so I can't wait to talk with Norbert Michael about mask mandates and whether or not they really work. You know, we go back and forth on this. Ed, now that you've taken your shot, I'm going to ask you how that went. Do you feel at all a little bit more invulnerable or whatever the word is? Do you feel different?
Physically, no. I don't, you know, I don't feel any after effects. My arm isn't even hurting or anything like that.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Okay.
I was in and out in about a half an hour, and that was only because mine was right after lunch, and I think the pharmacist took a long lunch, but everybody's usually in and out of there when you have an appointment in about 10, 15 minutes.
Now, you went
to Publix.
Publix, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
And you went to the pharmacy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I just feel like, you know, for a couple of reasons, like being around here, I don't want to infect somebody else. We can now say that nobody's been infected in this building.
No.
You know, we wipe it down. Tommy's been vaccinated. I got vaccinated. So we'll keep it that way. We might drag Lola down there next. We'll see.
Yeah, now, you know, Lola was interested, I remember, in possibly getting the shot.
I think she got somebody talked her out of it.
Really?
I think so.
Okay.
Anyway, it makes you feel like, I don't know, doing your part to get this thing over with, you know?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Now, you say you go there. Did you have to, fill out any paperwork? Do you have to show identification? I mean, how does that work when you go in?
Well, if you want to go online, I got the Johnson & Johnson, so that's one and done.
One and done.
That's the popular one. I filled out, I went on Publix.com and went on the COVID click, and you can make an appointment on Wednesday morning. You have to do it about 7 o'clock is your best chance, because then you'll have your pick of where you want to get the vaccine done, you know, close to your home. And after you do that, they'll set you up within a week for an appointment to get it done. And when you get there, you check in at the table. They give you a form to fill out that's about 10 questions about your health. That's it. But it's funny, something funny in it. They do ask you if you have insurance.
They do, huh?
Yeah.
But you didn't have to pay for
it. No, you don't have to pay for it. But I wonder if the insurance companies are paying for it.
Did they take the info about your insurance now?
They do. Yeah, they take your info, yeah. Just like anything else.
So it does sound like there may be a connection.
But it doesn't matter. If you don't have insurance, they'll still do it for you.
I see. Yeah. So you didn't really have to wait. You go right in, and it was and it's over very quickly, and you feel good about it. And
you can barely feel the needle at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quick.
Yeah. No after effects that
of. No. I've had shots, like you get a tetanus shot, your arm hurts the next day. It does, but I can't even tell that I had anything done.
Wow. You got a phone call there, my friend. In the meantime, look at this, gas prices. And I went to the pump here in Tampa Bay the other day, and it for the first time ever, I filled my tank. It cost me $45. Now, I thought that was a lot, but listen to this. In California, regular non-leaded gasoline, $4.99. It's $5 a gallon. I mean, it's $5 a gallon. You've got 20 gallons, you've got a $100 bill. That's amazing. Premium's $5.99. Now, these are in parts of Southern California. A guy that commutes almost 100 miles a day there says, right now I spend almost $100 on gas. You know, I wonder, with all of the things that the Democrats and the Biden administration is trying to do, I mean, the first thing out of the box when he became president, Biden shuts down the oil pipeline. I mean, he immediately signals, we're going to shut down oil pipelines, as if this is some sort of a gesture towards getting rid of fossil fuels. You know we can't get rid of fossil fuels. We can't get rid of fossil fuels. You can't create solar energy without starting out using fossil fuels to run things. But people don't seem to want to think about that. So there's no common sense when it comes to this. But these are the highest prices for gasoline in our memory. I don't know that it's ever been any higher. And in California, I mean, first of all, they're losing a seat because their population is going sideways, if not down. And all of these other things that they're being hit with. But these are the effects of this progressive socialistic approach to running people's lives. You pay $5 per gallon of gasoline out in California because you're in a progressive state, and you got state income taxes, and you got all of the other taxes that you pay out there. It's terrible. And of course, they can't balance their budget. That's another thing. And they've recalled their governor. That's another thing. So that's what progressiveness does to you, in my humble opinion. Anyway, let us take our break. And when we come back, Norbert Michael from the Heritage Foundation, we're going to talk about unmasking the truth.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello, everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. By the way, Governor Ron DeSantis, I think we were on the doing our show yesterday, Ed, when he issued an executive order and he suspended any local pandemic-related restrictions in the state of Florida. In fact, he was in downtown St. Pete over at the Big Catch at Salt Creek. Ever been there?
No.
Okay, I haven't either. Did a bill signing ceremony, and he ended local restrictions, and he called it the evidence-based thing to do, considering the availability of vaccines. He signed Senate Bill 2006. Which was passed by the legislature last week. It gives him the ability to override local emergency orders. Now, it takes effect July 1st. This also would be involving anybody in local government that makes some sort of a mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
He's overriding any of that. So we've got Norbert Michel with us. He's a director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk with him about these mask mandates. Norbert, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. So we got DeSantis, who's become kind of the golden boy, I think, of the Republican Party recently, with the way he's been running things in Florida. And he's kind of lifting all of these restrictions. In the meantime, one wonders about these mask mandates, the CDC, and seems like they changed their opinions on this. What is going on? Can we rely on how masks either help or don't help the spread of the virus?
Well, I mean, to be honest, scientifically speaking, we have to look at this differently, whether the mandate works or whether the mask works, right? I think that there is some evidence that the masks might help stop people from spreading the disease, but that kind of makes sense if you think about covering your face when you sneeze or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that wearing a mask will keep you safe, and that still doesn't mean that mandating people wear masks works and keeps people safe. And the evidence, in fact, shows that the mandates themselves do not make much of a difference, if at all, in the case growth and the mortality rates from COVID.
Mm-hmm. You know, the private sector has kind of figured out how to handle this as well, right? I mean, you go into stores around here in Florida, and despite the ruling by Ron DeSantis, you can't go into a store that I know of without wearing a mask, a commercial store.
Right.
So they've decided on their own that, you know, we want you to wear these masks. We don't feel comfortable yet. And people, by and large, are following those orders. But it seems like, you know, once you get outside, it seems like it's been a little bit less restrictive outside. More, I don't see that many people outside with masks. So they maybe the feeling is that you're outside, you're safe.
And there's evidence to support that. There's very little reason to think that you need to be wearing a mask outdoors and that the transmission is the same outdoors as indoors where you're around a lot of people in close confined quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just that Florida is a great example of a place where people have just sort of figured these things out on their own and how to be careful on their own. And you don't need some sort of government mandate and you don't need to go around arresting people for not wearing a mask.
Indeed. Now, you've written a piece along with Doug Badger in National Interest Magazine, and you asked the question at the top, how reliable are government declarations that mandates for masks, you know, prevent the spread? And you were looking into it. So in the long run, you're saying that, you know, wearing a mask makes sense. Are we past... Do you think within the next short period of time we're going to be pulling the masks off for one reason or another, and you know when we're inside a store?
Well, I think some people will, and I think the problem with this whole pandemic is that it's been driven by panic and fear rather than careful science and deliberation. And the truth of the matter is that if you're under 50 and you're healthy, you have very little to fear. No more than you do from getting the flu. If you're older, and if you're sick already, you're immunocompromised, that's very different. And at this stage in the pandemic, we've had a very high proportion of our seniors get vaccinated. So as that continues to get close to 100% over the next month or so, and as the age comes down further and further in terms of who's getting vaccinated, then there becomes less and less reason to worry about the mask.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that children, virtually no children, mm-hmm. even if they contract the virus, mm-hmm. suffer any long-term bad effects? Is it just because mm-hmm. they're young and their systems are so... But you would think there would be some of them that might suffer bad consequences.
Yeah, I don't think we know for sure. I think it would be remiss of me to say we know for sure. Some people suspect that the differences in our immune systems are what's going on there. That some people who are older are more susceptible for various reasons. Their immune systems have been compromised in ways that children's haven't. So, but it's not 100% clear why. But it is 100% clear that there's a major difference.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the Center for Disease Control? They are chastised a bit in your article. Tell us a little bit about their methodology and why did you, hold them to task on certain things?
Sure. Well, I'm an empirical person, an empirical economist, and that's what I do. I just do empirical work. And we saw a paper that they had put out on the Kansas mask mandate. And when we looked at it and tried to replicate the results, we couldn't. So we just kept digging and found that they had messed up. And when we contacted them and tried to gently get them to say something about what had happened, they refused. They went and they basically ignored it.
Really?
So we went in and put out our paper. And They said that the mask mandate in Kansas reversed the trend of growth in the counties with mandates versus the ones without the mandates, because Kansas had this optional mandate. So you could look at it at a certain date, and you could see that some counties decided we're not going to do this mandate that the state wants, but others did. So anyway, when we looked at it, we could show very clearly that the trend did not reverse. And when you looked at growth rates over the entire period, you see virtually no difference. Statistically, there's no difference. And then you can see slight differences in the numbers. But, you know, we're talking about really small differences. Like if you look in, say, just for example, in October in Kansas, the counties without the mandates had a 3.4% growth rate. The mandated counties were a little less at 3%. But that's not, I mean, that's nothing to really get excited about. And then in the next month, they flipped. So it's just, there's no major difference. If you could rely on the mask mandates to stop the disease, that would be one thing. But the empirical data simply does not support that that's the case.
So what are we to take from all of this, other than, you know, we have to be cautious? That we seem to be coming out of it. If you look at the number of cases in our country as we go along, they seem to be decreasing, and thank God the mortality and everything else is going down. But what are we to? Are we learning anything from this? I mean, what is the overall take on it, do you think?
Well, I think some of us are. I think one of the things that we should learn is that we have to be cautious and be careful, not overreact, and not simply trust the government in some sort of blind faith manner. Even the scientists who look at this stuff have limited knowledge, and we have to remember that. That's still no reason to panic.
Exactly. Well, we're all learning, right? Anthony Fauci, I kind of feel sorry for him a little bit. I think he's taking the brunt of it. He's been, you know, learning as quickly. I think his intentions are sincere. Some do not.
Right. Well, you could be right, and I have no idea. I can't speak to his intentions. The thing that disappoints me is what the CDC did early on by looking at the data from the, or not the data, rather, the model projections coming out of England and what they were doing in the UK. And saying this is what could happen here. I think, regardless of his intentions, and of course you want people to be safe, that was irresponsible.
Yes.
So, I don't really respect the way they did that. It's nothing personal. I just, as somebody who is used to looking at empirical data, I have a hard time reconciling how you could do that. And not expect that you're just going to stoke fear and not know that you're doing it for no real solid reason.
Norbert, one final question. Is there anybody out there in the medical industry or whatever that we can trust when they open their mouth about this virus thing?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of epidemiologists who have sort of echoed the same thing I'm saying, or I'm echoing what they were saying, which is that we just have to be careful and cautious and not overreact and not panic.
Yeah.
Bhaktara out of USC is one that just comes to mind. But there are some. Some of them have been shouted down in silence, you know, by the media, and that's unfortunate. A lot of good stuff coming out of Sweden, and that was sort of pushed to the side and mocked as non-science. When the truth is, there's no scientific basis for the lockdowns. We've never done this before.
Mm-hmm. So, and in Sweden, they had a liberal approach to it?
That's right. Very much like Florida, actually.
They kept things open. Yeah, that's very interesting. You know how all of this goes. Whoa, I think we lost him, did we not? That's all right. We were coming to the end of the to the end of the interview anyway. Norbert Michel was with us from the Heritage Foundation. Ed, do you remember when, like, even when you were getting the mail out of the mailbox and stuff, you wondered whether or not, I think Norbert might have called back, you wondered whether or not you might get the virus by holding the mail because the mailman might have got it. Because, because the envelope changes so many hands. But, you know,
there were so many different, rules, I guess, yeah. If you want to say.
I mean, we were fearful at that time, more fearful than we are now.
And people were seeing Dr. Fauci without a mask. You know, and he's preaching, wear a mask, and then there was no mask. He wasn't wearing a mask.
Right.
You know, and then the thing about Governor DeSantis was doing so many things, opening up Florida and doing so many things right. Not once did DeSantis get a call from Fauci saying, hey, what are you doing that other states can learn from?
Right.
Never heard from him.
No. Well, whatever DeSantis is doing, I think DeSantis, right from the get-go, said, you know what? We'll protect our most vulnerable senior citizens because those are the ones we have to worry about. He made a point of doing that. And do we have Norbert back? Well, let's give Norbert, first of all, Norbert, sorry about that disconnection there.
Okay.
But we were just talking about the fact that here, Ron DeSantis and his open policy, and you talked about Sweden and their open policy, and apparently it's just as good, if not better, than the closed door policies of some of these other places.
Yes, that's true. And you can find other places in Europe with higher rates, but you can also find those with lower rates. But in general, just like you would do a comparison between Florida and California, the outcomes are almost exactly the same, even though the approach was incredibly different. And in Sweden, much like they did in Florida, it was sort of we're not mandating things, we're not requiring things, we're telling you to be careful, we're telling you to do these sorts of things, be careful with washing your hands, and, masks might help, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, more libertarian there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, it's like you're kind of on your own. Oh. But use your head.
Trusting people. Yeah, you're trusting people to use their head and instead of treating them like children.
Exactly. And I think maybe that's the lesson we can learn from all of this, maybe. Hopefully.
I hope it is.
Yes.
I mean, I hope we do.
Yeah. Norbert, thank you so very much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. I'll let you get back to all your data analysis, get your head buried into facts and figures. And until the next time, thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
All right. Norbert Michel from the Heritage Foundation. Let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about $5 gas prices in California. God knows what they are in New York. But we'll be talking about all of this with our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. You just keep me hanging
on. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tuesday. Wow, May the 4th already. Time is flying. Well, delighted to have Angelo Ceresi with us, our eye in the northern sky. Your brother, Andrew, is on a mission of mercy this morning, Angelo, so we're delighted to have you with us. And first of all, how are you doing? We just had, did you know Big Ed got his virus shot today or yesterday?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, and he said he suffered no ill effects. And I know, if I recall, you got yours. You had no ill effects from the shot, right?
No ill effects at all. None whatsoever.
All right. So what's going on up there in New York? Do you still have Governor Cuomo in Albany, or have they tarred and feathered him yet?
No, he's still there. He's not going anywhere.
You don't think he's going to go anywhere?
No. He's, I think, over 50% of New Yorkers. Probably downstate. And the one says that he can stay, no problem.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was done.
No.
Cooked. I thought it was over. No. I thought they'd run him out of Albany on a rail. No?
He should have been tarred and feathered, and he's still there.
So, when is he up for election again?
Next year.
Is he going to run?
He says he is.
Do you think he'll win again?
At the rate it's going now, he probably will.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it take to get rid of a politician that's done bad things in New York?
Probably.
Shoot him?
Anything goes in New York,
I guess.
California.
Wow.
No recall. You said there's no recall in New York State like there is in California.
Yeah. Now, he has announced that he's going to try to open things up in New York, right?
Yes, he is. May 17th. He's opening up a lot of places.
Okay, so that's about 13 days from, about 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
Are you looking forward to that, or what are your thoughts?
Well, we should have been opened up a long time ago. But I guess, you know, he's had these restrictions and mandates going on since March. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's reducing the restrictions on the number of people we can have out in buildings and everything else like that, and, you know.
Now, have you gone to a restaurant to eat or anything?
Yes. Yeah.
And when you go in there, you wear a mask and you sit down, and then you take
wear
your
mask, right. As you go in, take your mask off when you sit down,
mm-hmm.
Put your mask on again when you walk out.
And your servers are wearing masks?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have 100% capacity in these restaurants now?
Not right now, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's somewhere like 33%.
Okay.
Right now, some places I think 25% maybe, you know?
Right, right.
And the same thing with the churches and everything else right now.
Now, it sounds like the more you're outside, the less chance you have of getting the virus. In other words, the virus doesn't seem to spread very well outside. I mean, that it seems like that's what they're starting to think.
Well, they're opening up the outside. They're having, like, you know, like for outside events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we usually have what's called the Lilac Festival. And
in Rochester, New York?
In Rochester, yes.
Okay.
And they're having, like, weekends. You know, a capacity crowd can only be so much. I think it starts starts this weekend, like on Mother's Day.
Now, Angelo, we have to give Joe Biden a 100-day grade on his performance. And I know you're not that you're a bit of a Trump supporter, but I want you to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you were marking Joe Biden's performance, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being almost perfect and 1 being this guy should never have gotten within a country mile of the White House, what number would you give him?
1.
Okay. Yeah. Really? Not even a 1.5 or a 2?
Not even.
Really?
And I'm being kind. Otherwise, I'd give him a -1.
You would. Okay. So there isn't anything that you've seen him do that you approve of? Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's going to raise taxes. He has done nothing on the border. He keeps coming up with all these trillion-dollar packages, you know we're going to pay for it.
Of course we are.
Just, I mean, and he blames Trump for the border problems, right?
Of course he does.
And all they do is lie about everything. They haven't done.
He's a very good liar, in my opinion, because he's been doing it for so long. He lied about any connection to the Burisma Energy Company, and then a photograph pops up of him playing golf and posing for pictures with executives from the Burisma.
Right, and then
he nobody confronts him. I think if I was a reporter and I was in that room when he was taking questions, first of all, he wouldn't call on me, so I would be raising my hand saying, "Excuse me, Mr. President, give some of us who are not on, you know, the liberal side, a chance to ask you a question." I would ask him about that and say, "You said that you never knew these people. And now we're supposed to believe you when you say that you're not getting any money from any of this, that your son Hunter was involved in. There's no funneling of money to you. There's no, you know, I mean, we've got a computer, Hunter Biden computer, that apparently shows otherwise."
And the FBI raided Rudy Giuliani's place and never even took him.
And that reminds me about Rudy Giuliani. I mean, they go after Rudy Giuliani and make a big deal. The FBI, what, 6 in the morning, they come to his house?
Right. How about that couple that they're looking for Nancy Pelosi's computer, their guns drawn and everything?
Yes. They got the wrong woman or something, or they claim she might have had the computer. She didn't have it, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, they've weaponized the FBI. They're weaponizing everything. And we, as the American people, are taking it. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just like the people here in New York State. I mean, upstate New York, Cuomo never won. It's always downstate.
Right.
New York City, Manhattan area, the whole nine yards.
Right.
But, like I said, they're weaponizing everything. And they weaponized the coronavirus. They blamed Trump for every little thing. And look at it. I mean, if it wasn't for President Trump, we would not have even had the vaccine, because he pushed it along.
He did. He did. He got it up and running. And Biden is very reluctant. Biden's very reluctant to give Trump credit for any of that.
Well, he's taking credit. You know, the guy, once a plagiarizer, always a plagiarizer. You know that?
Well, one time he developed an entire speech that had been written for somebody else.
Right, right. So he does it now. He thinks it's okay. Nobody has ever, you know, penalized him for that. Nothing.
Getting back to the state of New York, is there any Republican golden boy in the state of New York? Does any Republican really have a chance at all? Is it just blanketed by Democrats? I mean, is there no hope?
New York State is a Democratic state. It was gerrymandered with the districts so that they could never lose. In fact, we had two state senators in here, Rich Funke and another state senator, Joe Robach. They declined to even run because they couldn't get nothing done. They were sidelined. Yeah, you could never win.
Yeah.
You know, I think they should have stayed, but obviously they know more than I do that, you know, they that they just gave up.
New York lost a congressional seat in this new census. Florida gained one, Texas gained two. At one time, you know, New York was like between California and New York. They were the states, right? Everything was going.
Yeah.
But it seems like the progressive philosophy has brought our two biggest states kind of down to their knees in certain ways. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. In one example, I think they lost the seat by 87.
Yeah.
Population, 87?
89 votes or something like that.
Yeah, and he goes, Cuomo says, well, they didn't count this, they didn't count the illegal immigrants. Those are his own words. They didn't count the illegal immigrants.
Yes.
Why should they count? They're not part of the United States. And, you know, he let that slip. And this is what they're trying to push, to get these illegals for votes.
No, there's no question about it. That's one of the reasons.
Let that slip. And nobody even questioned him on that. No, nobody in the media.
There's no question about it, what you're saying. They wanted, you know, supposedly with all these people pouring in, it will increase some of the blue states with, apparently they think, with Democrats, yeah. They will increase their representation in Congress, but it's not really working out that way, at least not yet.
Not just that, but, you know, they actually want these people to be counted. You know what I'm saying? He was complaining that they weren't counted.
Mm-hmm.
Why should they be counted? They're not U.S. citizens.
I would like to know how many illegal immigrants there are in the country. There's no way, because an illegal is not going to tell you the truth because he doesn't want to get caught.
Right.
But, go ahead.
He even said that they avoided doing the census because they don't want to be caught.
Mm-hmm.
He says they should be counted. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is ridiculous. I mean, they're progressives. Their ideas are ridiculous. In fact, this one guy, I got out of, after church Saturday, I played at the 5 o'clock mass, right?
Yeah.
This one individual was talking to me. You know, they were talking about President Trump and everything. And he goes, oh, he was so arrogant and this and that. He had good policies. If he was like a John Kennedy, he would have won and this and that. But he was so arrogant and egotistical and everything. I says, excuse me. I recall General George S. Patton was egotistical and arrogant and everything like that. And he contributed to the winning of World War II.
Yeah, exactly right.
And he didn't know what to say.
Exactly. Speaking of Trump, the Facebook Oversight Board, you're going to be happy here, is looking to allow Trump back on their platform.
But they should.
The Oversight Board.
To begin with.
They're going to announce their decision tomorrow. Wow. Do you think Trump will be waiting with bated breath? What about Twitter?
Didn't that guy from Twitter say, I shouldn't have done that? Now
I don't know.
Yeah, that was on the news last
night. Well, Twitter permanently banned him.
Yeah, he goes, I regret, because it affected the election. It affected the election. These people that affected the election, mm-hmm. they're holding these people January 6th for what do they call them? Insurgents or whatever?
Insurrectionists.
What about that idiot from Twitter, right?
Yeah.
And Facebook. They're insurrectionists by doing what they did.
Well, they're shutting down free speech, too, you know, among other things.
Free speech, that's insurrection.
Yeah, exactly. It is always a pleasure, Angela. We really appreciate your stepping in for your saintly brother, who is doing God's work with somebody. He takes care of this guy, and he needed to be there for the guy today, so he couldn't even make our little talk. So thank you so much for being with us.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
All right, Angelo.
I'm there.
All right, my friend. There he goes, Angelo Ceresi. We call him our eye in the northern sky.
Caitlin can see it from two different perspectives.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe it or not, she does have a unique perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, are we hearing some overfeed? No problem. I was wondering if I was hearing the ghosts of Good Morning Clearwater in my ears. No? I was on there for a moment. Anyway, let us take our final break. And when we come back, our term limit's coming to the Supreme Court and the top 10 Rotten Tomatoes worst movies ever.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final portion of Freedom Work. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But you can listen to us on podcast because Big Ed, bless his little heart, puts all of our shows on our website, on podcast. All you got to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, click on the podcast button at the top, and away you go. So Joe Biden goes to a fifth grade class with his wife, and he starts asking the kids how they feel about, I guess, being at home with computers and doing virtual classes. And I don't think he got exactly the answer that he wanted. He was at the Yorktown Elementary School, which, by the way, just started opening again. It's now open 4 days a week. And he was asking the kids how they felt about using the computer at home. One kid said, if we were really tired, we could take a little nap. Right while the class is going on, right? Virtual learning class. They could take a nap. Let's see here. And then here's another kid. He says, and if you don't know the answer to the question, you can just pretend like your mic doesn't work.
there was one kid that did speak to him on his level. Did you hear about that?
No. What did he say?
Here it is.
Have you ever had a dream that you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Was that Joe Biden as a young boy? That's funny. Isn't that cute? That was really cute. Okay. You know all of this hullabaloo about packing the Supreme Court? Well, the commission that Joe Biden created to study expanding the court may give Democrats an in on limiting the tenure, term limits, for Supreme Court justices. You know, on April the 9th, about a month ago, he signed that executive order that created the commission. Now, usually commissions are where bills, legislation go to die. You never hear from them again. And whether or not that will be the case with the commission on the Supreme Court. But apparently, they are taking up this idea of term limits. And it is striking a bit of a chord with some people. You remember that we've had some justices that were nodding off at the end, you know?
Yeah. Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
That's the first person I'm thinking of.
Wow.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She could barely keep her head up. God love her, but she was.
Some of them, I question if they even remember what they had for breakfast.
It's kind of like Biden.
Yeah.
We're getting to the point. Should we have term limits on term limits?
I think term
in
limits,
other words,
definitely.
If you find that your president is not making sense anymore, can you term limit him immediately?
Have you ever had a dream?
There we go. Anyway, so this is something that they are now very much considering, whether or not to limit the tenure. I don't know if they would base it on the age or the number of years that they have served. Right now, you can serve as long as you want. You can retire, and many have. Or you can die in the job, and many have. So we'll see where all of that goes. Mm. But it's interesting to revisit that whole situation with the Supreme Court and how long they can stay.
House speakers, too.
Yes, there's another one. We have a lot of old-timers, don't we?
There is an old guard that's really holding things up. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the median age for the people running our country are probably close to 80. That's getting kind of old, long in the tooth. Mm-hmm. All right, it is time. And Ed, I want to know, when I mention these movies, how many of them you saw? I will also tell you. These are Rotten Tomatoes. You know Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, they can be kind of strange, though, the way they rate things.
They rate things both on critics and on viewers, which is interesting. And you can see a movie that's highly rated by critics, and the viewers hate it, or the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen. But this is the top 10 worst movies ever by Rotten Tomatoes. Here we go. Number 10. Dark Crimes came out in 2016. Didn't get released in the States for a while.
Went straight to streaming. Jim Carrey was in it. He's had some bad ones. Mm-hmm. Number 9. Ah, Jaws the Revenge.
Oh, God, that was god-awful.
Yeah, well, they think so, too.
Oh, good.
I didn't see it. 1987, oh. Michael Caine was in it, poor yes. guy. Did he get eaten by the...
No, he survives. And
oh, that's too bad.
The mother was in there.
In the Jaws?
Yes, you remember the original, the lady, the...
Oh, yeah.
The cop's wife, she was in it. The acting was just horrible.
Wow. Even Michael Caine said this. The bar isn't exactly very high, is it, on this movie? Number 8.
And the plot was ridiculous.
Okay. The Last Days of American Crime. You ever hear of that one, 2020? That's last year.
No.
By the magnificently named Oliver Megaton directed it. Came out on Netflix. Let's see. Sequences involving severe police brutality. Okay, so it didn't sit right with many critics. Okay, number 7. National Lampoon's Gold Diggers, 2003. Did you see that one?
No.
Okay, let's see. Anything to say about that? I can't see too much about it other than it stunk. Number 6. Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2. Oh, that doesn't sound good at all, these sequels. In 2004, why even Super Babies originally wasn't very good, but this one really stunk. Number 5, the 2002 version of Pinocchio. I'm sure you saw that, Ed.
No.
You're a Pinocchio fan. An Italian movie. Recut, dubbed for American audiences, and they absolutely ruined it. Number 4, Gotti. I saw it. Gotti.
Oh, with John Travolta?
Yeah. You know, they made him look like it, but that was about the only thing. That was about it. It said that it was horrible. That's what they said about it. All right, number 3. Movie called 1,000 Words. You ever hear of that one, 2012?
No.
Eddie Murphy was in it. That's all you got to know how bad it was. He's been in every stinking movie. I mean, he has picked horrible movies.
Maybe worse cheap.
Yeah. Number 2. One Missed Call, 2008. It's a Japanese director that did it. Extreme Violence. Let's see. I guess it just was badly made. Oh, Edward Burns was involved with it. Okay, anyway. Finally, here we go. The number 1 worst Rotten Tomatoes movie is... I mean, even the title stinks. Ballistic, X versus Sever. E-C-K-S versus Sever. Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu are capable of making good movies. The Mask of Zorro, among them, Kill Bill. We'd happily watch them any day, but when the pair teamed up with director Wick Kayasandanada or something to bring us Ballistic X versus Sever, everything seemingly went wrong. With 118 registered reviews, it was officially the worst reviewed movie in the history of Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
We must see that, Ed.
No.
I mean, some are so bad they're good. You think? No?
No?
All right. Anyway, that is it, my friends. We thank you so very much for joining us. And please stay tuned for Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Y, right after the news. Bye. I'm going to wrap my arms around you and
hold you close to me. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. At least 23 are dead in Mexico City, more than 70 injured in the collapse of an elevated section of subway track.
Mexico City authorities say all who survived the Metro train crash are now in local hospitals. Rescue workers were unable to continue pulling bodies out of the fallen trains due to the risks of further collapse. Large cranes are working to gently lower the two bright trains, which settled in a V position on the ground. The elevated track snapped in two, sending the trains crashing down onto a busy street. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
Well, stormy weather has been deadly and destructive in the south the past few days, and CBS's Jim Krasula says there's more potential trouble on the map today.
Severe storms, including tornadoes, could threaten up to 90 million people in the mid-south, deep south, and southeast today. Two people died when nasty storms raked metro Atlanta. Jamar Ritchie was making a delivery when strong winds flipped over his tractor-trailer truck in south Atlanta.
I saw the ground with a bunch of wind go, and then that's when my truck completely just capsized, turned over, and slammed into the other truck.
Storms Sunday and Monday caused widespread damage from Mississippi to West Virginia.
From all indications, the Pfizer vaccine could be just days away from getting federal permission for it to be administered to kids 12 to 15. Dr. Ashish Jha, dean of the Brown University of School of Public Health, on CBS This Morning.
I have two kids in that age range, and they're both very excited to get it, and I'm happy for them to get it because I really do think these vaccines are both remarkably effective and quite safe.
For the first time in 2 years, G7 leaders are meeting face-to-face.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. The foreign minister's class photo was a model of social distancing, all seven men standing on separate steps of an ornate staircase. Some careful footwork will also be needed in the talks themselves, centered on how to counter challenges from China and Russia without trying to contain Beijing or escalate tension with the Kremlin.
The group behind the Golden Globes, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, has been criticized for a lack of diversity. Now, as CBS's Peter King reports, change is coming.
The organization's board of directors wants to recruit more black journalists, hire a diversity officer, and add more members in general. HFPA members have to vote on the proposals, and the Hollywood Reporter says board members have threatened to resign if they don't approve them.
Is the boss stealing from you? An analysis of Labor Department data indicates 8,500 employers were caught taking $287 million from workers in 2019. The penalties are not severe. Wall Street, the Dow is down 240. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth, personalized and affordable financial planning for everyday Americans. No wealth or asset minimums. Quality financial advice for every stage of your life.
Liberty Go Mutual
Yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Don from Largo.com, 2 o'clock Thursday on the Tantalk 1340.com radio network. 34-year constitutionally qualified declared candidate for president, U.S.